The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Mike Campion here with my guest, John Torres. I've known this guy for a couple of years. He came to an event we did many, many years ago, I think in Temecula, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. We don't even do those kinds of events. So this guy is fully OG. He is the owner of Club Clean. They started August 2018. He said in Northwest Indiana. I'm a dumb American that doesn't know my geography, so I'm just going to say an hour outside of Chicago. You do what you want with that. But he's got a commercial cleaning company that has been kicking butt and taking names. John, what's shaking, my friend?
Hey, Mike. I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to chatting with you here.
Yeah, I'm kind of selfishly, I feel like John and I have kept touch off and on for like 2 or 3 years, and I kind of know what's going on. So I'm like, oh, this would be a fantastic chance to catch up. So we'll pretend it's for the audience, even though it's really for me. You started 2018, August, we're end of 2021. Just give us a 60-second summary of what brought you into the business, where you started, where you're at, and where you're hoping to go.
Sure. So what brought me into the business was actually some failed dreams and attempts to get into residential real estate investment. So I had bought actually about a dozen or so properties in a couple different cities, and it was going okay in the beginning, and then it wasn't going so great in the end. And so I quickly started to see the writing on the wall. I started selling off my interest in some properties, selling other properties. And once the dust kind of settled from that, I began to look at, what next? And funny enough, one of the contractors I had hired in one of those projects also had a commercial cleaning company. And during that time, and it was 2015, 16 timeframe, I had been doing business with him. I started a cleaning company to contract him out for about 10 buildings in the Washington, D.C. area. And I saw how viable of a business cleaning could be, because I was essentially managing the contract there, and I saw the numbers and what it took to get the job done. And so when I kind of closed up shop on the real estate company, that was the first thing that came to mind as the next venture I would want to get into. And so this is early 2018 that this is happening. I started pounding pavement, pounding phones. I actually got some jobs at some banks and then some houses. And while I'm bidding on other jobs is when I actually met, or I should say was introduced to you, because you did some podcasts on how to bid properly. And that led me to reach out, which led to me signing up as an elite member. And then ultimately when going out to Temecula that summer, as an elite member, there of the group. And so I landed my first reoccurring client, right there in that first month of being an elite member. And funny enough, I had a part-time job, or not a part-time, it was a temporary job, but it was full-time, that I was really wanting to get out of. It was just holding me over and bridging the gap between real estate and my real estate ventures and this new venture I was embarking on. And funny enough, I'm already in your program. I'm starting to apply a lot of the principles of how to capture leads and how to do walkthroughs and submit bids properly. And I get laid off from that job. So a day later, I get invited back to someone I did a perfect prospect survey with to do a walkthrough. I submitted a bid the day after that walkthrough, and then that following Monday, so it's less than a week from getting laid off of my full-time job, I was awarded that contract. And that one reoccurring contract, it was 7 days a week for a 90,000 square foot building. It actually paid more per month than my full-time job did. and I was driving into Chicago hour 15, 20 minutes each way from that full-time job. And this facility was 4 minutes from my house. Right there, it was like a justification and validation of all that work, you know, those previous months, just trying to build some momentum And then really when I came across your material and some of the processes and thought, like both in your thought and in practical terms that you share in your podcast and in your groups, and to see the fruit, I mean, almost immediately from that, I was sold. There was, you know, any other podcast I was listening to, I was already listening to kind of with the bias because I saw it work in real time.
Beautiful. I love that story. And it's funny how things feel like timing or luck or providence or whatever you want to call it. And oftentimes it's just when you kind of start focusing and going in a certain direction, you know, it's like you decide you want a new kind of car and you never thought about it before. And you never really saw many of those on the road and you decide you want that car. Now you see 300 of them and it's like, well, it yeah. doesn't really change so much as your perception. So, obviously yeah. there's always some sort of luck, skill, God, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I think we have a lot more to do with how that stuff shows up than maybe we think. All right. So A, love that story. And I feel just as caught up as the audience, which is nice. B, what's going on in your world that I can help you with this moment, my friend?
Yeah, sure. So I know as far as sales and lead generation is concerned, you're a blue ocean strategy kind of guy where you want the bottom of the iceberg that's not popping out. And so you attract people to you rather than chasing after them. And I'll be honest, my life situation and just learning myself as I've applied that and attempted to apply that the last few years, I feel like the best move for our company is to use an approach that's actually shared in the Ultimate Sales Machine, which is to hire sales superstars. And so I've actually started that process and it actually seems to be bringing some life to me, the thought of leading a few sales superstars in going after clients. I know that's kind of counter to what you preach, but I guess if I had to think of it in terms of both lead gen and lead acquisition, if I was trying to balance that, how would you suggest approaching it? And just general thoughts on ultimate, I know you're familiar with that book, on that aspect of building a sales machine by using sales people.
Yeah. So let me catch, some people up because you said a bunch of stuff that's, I don't say insider stuff, but you'd have to, if you're not a fan of the show or this is your first episode, you're gonna be like, what on God's earth are we talking about? So let me just repeat what I thought I heard you say, just so I could be clear on the question with you, and then I can catch all the listeners up as well. So Chet Holmes authored a book called Ultimate Sales Machine, which is excellent and I love. And he's passed away. I always tell that as a spoiler alert because I remember reading the book. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to find everything this guy's written ever. And I found out he passed and it was devastating, not devastating, but you know, you read a book and you feel close to someone and it was disappointing. So I just want to tell you that now before you're emotionally attached. So you're welcome. So that said, what John is saying is, hey, man, I want to hire a sales team. What would that look like? Is that a fair summary of your question or am I missing? Or what's the best way to hire a sales team?
Well, how to do it well. Because I feel like, at least in the book, it gives you a decent framework on how to approach it. And I like building up, supporting, and then encouraging people to go out and do the work. Rather than being the guy and that goes for operations as well. So, if I want to do it and do it well, how would you coach, you know, advise, warn in that?
Yeah. And again, as good as I like the book, we'll stay off that just because many people haven't written it and I don't want to establish.
Yeah.
So if you want to read the book, it's a great book, Ultimate Sales Machine, Chet Holmes. That said, we'll just talk as if the question independent of that was I want to build a sales team. I want to do it well, effectively, all that good stuff. So, for me, I'm having, and by the way, I have a coaching team. We have enrollment coaches, so I wouldn't call them a sales team, but we have people that provide the sales function for our company. I've had a car dealership. I've had a construction company. I had of course, a commercial cleaning company. So I've led many, many sales teams. So none of this is stuff I read in a book as much as it's things I've experienced. So my construction company was probably the best example that would relate to the commercial cleaning that I would coach you not to do. And then the obvious, the alternative to that would be the obvious what to do. So when I had a construction company, it is a long sales cycle, similar to what we have in commercial cleaning. And I hate to say it, but we're going to go a little commercial here, because this is a different answer for residential than for commercial. So the problem with that was, if we ask the salesperson to do everything, generate the leads, get the leads to know, like, and trust us, then get them to raise their hand for bid, and then provide a bid, and then close the sale, and then sometimes even have a little bit of connection with the person after the sale, it's too vertically integrated. At one point, they're either going to be in a couple camps. One is, I'm not very good at this, but you won't know, because I'll hustle and bustle around, and the sales cycle takes 3-4 months. So I might not sell anything for 3 or 4 months, and you won't know I suck, because it could just be bad luck. Two, I'm really good at this. You're still going to have to wait 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months to find out, because it's a long sales cycle. And if I'm really good at this, there's probably going to have to be a lot of head patting, hand holding. I'm probably going to have other offers to go other places. If and when, let's be realistic, when, right? Very few people have had companies for 20, 30 years. Like, I've had that sales guy with me 20 years. It can happen, but it's rare. If and when that guy leaves, often much of your company goes with them. Or there's the guy that just is entrepreneurial and goes, well, what do I need you for? Like, no offense, but I can sub a cleaning company if I can get the account, if I'm doing the whole daggum thing. There's, you know, why I'm getting 10% or whatever you want to pay and you're getting 90% is beyond me. So those are the big flaming red flags, is why I would not want someone to be vertically integrated or fully integrated top to bottom in the sales process. The way I would coach you to do it, and I've done it, we've built several companies, is we have a marketing funnel that generates all the leads. We have a warming funnel that gets all those leads to know, like, and trust me. Like when John came to me, I don't remember, but he said, I listened to a podcast or something I had created once, and that podcast exists. And there's probably somebody out there right now listening to it going, this guy's the best. So if and when any of our we don't call them sales staff, but just for the purpose of this conversation, if and when any of our sales staff leaves, that has nothing to do with what we've built, and John's alliance isn't to the sales guy. It is to me and the team and what we represent. So I very much like separating lead generation, lead warming up, know, like, and trust. So lead generation would be, I don't know who you are, to, oh yeah, I know those guys. No strong feelings. Lead warming up, kind of middle of the funnel, would be going from, I know who you are, I've heard your name, I know what Apple Computer is, but I have no strong thoughts, to, oh yeah, I love those guys, they're innovative, they're this or that, whatever, to raising their hand going, I would like information on Apple Computer. And that's where I want the salesperson or team to jump in. It's cheaper, it's more scalable. It protects my company. The lead flow or the sales cycle shorter, right? If I'm bringing leads that might have taken 6 months that I've been percolating for years, and they come and talk to the sales guy, as long as he's talented, he can show me immediately if he's a good salesperson or not. And also, typically, just like, I want an accountant / salesperson. Typically, the skill set for accounting is not the same as the skill set for selling. The skill set for generating leads is very different than the skill set for warming leads, which is completely different from the skill set to, I don't say close leads, but to move people from raising their hand with interest to being a client. And finding one unicorn that's got that is a son of a gun. All right. All that said, the last piece of this, and I'll let John give any questions he's got, is I'm always going to start with the lead generation. So a lot of us are like, that all sounds like a lot of work and takes a lot of time. I'll just hire this magical unicorn salesperson and pay him $100,000 a year, and he'll do everything for me. It'll be fantastic. And it typically isn't. And when it is until it's not. And that guy leaves and now everything stops and you either got to go back or your company stops growing, which I don't want everyone to be in that position. So I personally would always start generating leads first. The way that I would do that is, again, getting people to come to me, creating content that my ideal customers go, I'm interested in that. I want to engage with that. And I'm just going to create a system that is bringing in lots of leads. The salespeople, a good commercial cleaning company that's really got their system down, really good, might have 10 bids a month. Like, that's on a high end. I personally, as an owner, if I'm not traveling, I'm probably just going to do them. If I've done a good job getting leads and bids, or warm leads and they're good ones, I'm probably going to do all of them that are over $2,000 a month. So I might just have an estimator, a low level person, kind of do the $500 or $1,000 a month ones if I'm taking those, and I'll do the $2,000, which might be one or two or three a month. And even if you're like, I'm traveling, I don't want to do a damn thing, whatever, fine. I'm still going to have an estimator do the the measuring. I'm never going to do that. And I'm going to do the sales process over a Zoom call wherever I am in the world. So at no point, I'm still going to be that guy. Because again, if it's just call it at the minimum for me with $2,000 a month and they just stay for 3 years, that's $75,000. I'm okay just being like, I'll talk to that guy. Say if someone else does all the estimating and measuring and everything, it's going to take me an hour, hour and a half. I could do $75,000 an hour work. So that's my rant, questions, comments, rude remarks.
Yeah, a couple came up. So I guess to on what you just said there at the end about the quantity, you know, you gave general numbers just as an idea as to how many walkthroughs you might have to go on or you know, how much time you'd have to spend meeting with clients. And I guess that was, I'm realizing even as you're saying that, part of the reason that I'm exploring this because of how slow it seemed it was going, the growth. And I got to a certain level and it just seemed like there's tumbleweeds and even with actively pursuing conversations with people who would be my ideal client, even that wasn't generating the kind of inflow of inquiries or walkthrough and bid opportunities that I would like. And so as much time as I was spending trying to create that, to then think about how can I speed this up? How can I create more momentum and make it so that I have more, you know, more bids that we need to submit per week than I can handle? So I guess
let me jump in, because you're saying so much important stuff. And there's like three things I want to respond to, and I don't want to wait till eight and I'll miss some, because this is really good for Cleaning Nation. So this is so typical of the coaching that we do. And I'm so glad that you're bringing it up, because this is going to obviously help you, but we're going to help a lot of folks listening. So oftentimes we respond to a logical, almost all problems in business are logical. Well, I'm kind of a hammer, so everything looks like a nail. So to me, many of them are logical. Maybe I'm underestimating the emotional part, but this is specifically a logical problem. I'm not getting enough leads. That's the actual problem. So what we want to do, or what John proposed to himself, is I'll hire a salesperson. That is nothing. That's like me going, my car's not running well, I'll put more gas in it. Or my car's out of gas, I'll hire a mechanic. Completely different. There's nothing wrong with mechanics, but it ain't going to solve the problem. The mechanic's going to put some gas in, right? So what we really want to do, and this is the typical part for all of you going, I'm not in that situation. Yeah, we have one problem we feel, I've tried it, I don't like it, it's a bear, I'm afraid I can't solve it, I don't want to deal with it, I just want to ignore it. So we solve something else, right? Our books are a mess. So we're like, I'll sell more stuff because I'm good at selling and I'm comfortable with that. And that'll fix my books. It shall not fix your books. It'll allow you to not look at your books, but it's not going to solve your problem. Depending on what your books say, you might just be selling yourself broke faster. So what I hear John saying, and please correct me if I'm putting words in your mouth, John, is I have not found success in what I've been doing to generate leads. I can't do it as the owner who has the most to gain, but I'll pay some other chump to generate leads for me and that will fix it. And I'm not picking on you, but other people can see that and go, dumb John, it's obvious, but we can't see it in our own lives, right? So I want them to see, if they can see it clearly in your life, hopefully they can turn it to themselves and go, oh, wait a second, I do that as well. So
yeah, that was a good way to put it.
Okay. And what that mostly looks like is not what John's doing. So I want to bring in Cleaning Nation. What they typically do is, I'll hire a marketing company. So I think you're a little farther off. I'll hire a salesperson, which isn't going to work, but they're like, I'll hire a marketing company. But again, the same problem exists.
I've done that too.
Right. And that doesn't get good. He's like, it's not that I didn't go there. I went there first and failed. And now it's my second thing. So for any of you guys that have listened to the podcast or been through any of my programs, you know that I'm a big fan of if you're the owner, I don't want you doing it. Don't clean, don't deal with rags. There's a lot of crap I tell you, don't do. So I'm not the guy that's like, just work harder. I'm at the opposite. First and foremost, for people I work with, I'm like, let's get you and your life in control and you having the time freedom you want. The money's just going to support whatever that lifestyle is. And then if you want to grow and just have a bunch of extra money, great. But until we get you living the life that you want, let's do it. So I'm not talking about a 60-hour work week or even often a 40-hour work week. That said, you don't have to be a master at marketing, but by God, you have to know what a P&L is. You have to know what your profit and loss. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have a degree. Just nothing drives me nuts when I ask someone about their an important decision in their business. Like, oh, my accountant handles that. Like, no, they do not. Your accountant just reports what happened with the money. You got to do the thinking, knucklehead. If your accountant's doing the thinking, you, it ain't your business. It's his business or her business. Same thing happens with lead gen. I don't want to do it. So there's really only a couple things that we need to do. Only a couple systems. We have to set up a system. So for all businesses, not just cleaning, there's really only three things. We got to sell something. We got to deliver that product or service, and we got to count the money. That's literally it with just 99% of the businesses out there. So you have to be able to understand all of those enough to create a system that it'll work. You cannot sub that out. I don't have to count the money. Someone else can count the money. I don't have, and that's fine. Someone else can count the money, but you need to get the report, understand what the report says, know what a good report looks like, and know how to interpret it. So paying someone to do that, as long as you know what it is you want them to do, because no offense, an accountant's going to be like, here's what you owe. A CPA is going to go, here's what you owe the government in taxes. That's not going to help you run your company. Operationally, that's where we're usually strong. Problem is there. We want to clean. It's hard to step out of that. But most people figure out, okay, especially with the systems and processes we teach, I have systems to do that. So we don't have to talk about that. What John's talking about is very common. You still have to understand how to market. So we have two full-time paid traffic folks that do traffic for ourselves and our clients. They're better at certainly Facebook and Google ads than I am by far. But I know what good copy looks like, and I know what garbage copy looks like, and I know how to hire them, because there's 1,000 people that say I'm a great Facebook ads guy. But if they're, but I know I have to, so I don't have to be as good as they are, but I have to at least know what the frick I'm talking about so I can set up a system. So I want to encourage you guys, you cannot outsource client attraction. You can outsource the systems, but you still got to understand the systems and set them up. You can't just, we want that panacea. If I just pay this marketing, they said, if I give them $5,000 a month, they'll give me all the leads I can ever handle, but the leads suck and they don't. So there's one of two things. One will be too expensive. They know how good they are. So they're going to charge you so much. Like, I can't afford that. Or we're effectively partners at this point, which is fine if you want to partner up. Or they're like $500 a month. It'll be amazing. And they're garbage. If they knew how to get clients for $500 a month, you know this, by the way, when you ask how many clients they have, and like seven, like, how are you supposed to build my, you know what I'm saying? Or we've got 1,000 of them, but they're really cheap. So we do the same thing with salespeople. Well, if I could pay someone $100,000 a year, that's so much. He's got to be amazing. But he doesn't. He doesn't at all. So at the end of the day, we still need to learn the service, the skill of client attraction. We still have to understand who our customer is, what their pain is, and how to articulate it to them. And I promise you, a sales guy is going to just go out there and be like, hey, my name's Mike. I'm a club clean. How's your cleaning company doing? Times 500 or however good he is for as long as he can. But it's not automated. It's not scalable. It's not repeatable. It's not dependable. And God forbid when that guy leaves. So short answer, which John's like, I didn't want to hear that answer, I'm guessing, in Cleaning Nation to a larger extent, is there are very few skills more valuable than the ability to create an automated funnel or create marketing systems. They pay real well, and there are very few people know how to do them. But again, for us, we'll take a dozen or so clients a month. We probably get 200 to 300 people saying, can we get an appointment? We need help. We can't even keep it up. That skill, and that's from a funnel I set up 2-3 years ago with doing very little work on it. So was it a pain in the butt to get the skills to be able to do that? Yeah. Is that skill worth millions of dollars? Yeah. If I just had a sales guy start cold calling owners of cleaning companies, like, hey, John, it's Mike with Growing My Cleaning Company. We're awesome, man. Come join our program. It's the best. Like, I don't know how that's going to work. All right. I've yapped way too much. We're running out of time. John, second round of questions, comments, rude remarks, and we'll try and wrap this thing up.
Well, yeah, actually, you focused on lead gen there and saying that that's the real problem. And that was actually going to be my second question, was then how do you effectively create a couple of lead generation avenues so that you have more, you know, hands raised and, you know, you even know what to do with, and you can start being picky even about who you agree to go walk with.
Perfect. So baked into that question was some really good assumptions. How do you get more than you need? When you have more than a need, you can be particular on who you go. How do I automate it? So that question is baked in with some pretty good understanding of what we're actually looking for, which most people don't get. They're just like, should I do Facebook ads or Google ads? Like, which is better, red or blue? Like, or a hammer or a nail. Well, I don't, or a hammer or a screwdriver. It depends on what you're trying to do, where you're at, what we're building.
Sure.
There's lots of things. So I love the baked in question. The answer is, that's a great question for a different podcast and not a cliffhanger, but we just have time constraints. Good news is we've done dozens, if not hundreds of podcasts on that. So Cleaning Nation, if you're like, I like this, it kind of made me wanting more, answer the freaking question, you jerk. Go to GoLinkToMeCody.com. I promise you, we've got dozens of free podcasts on that. We've done over 700. Dozens have been on exactly how to build an automated marketing funnel. The best place to start there is probably the on-demand training. It's like a 40-minute webinar. It's amazing for two reasons. One, it's our funnel. So you can be like, oh, how do they do it? Right. My favorite thing is when we have clients that go, wait a second, as we're teaching them how to get more clients, more leads than they can handle, go, that's how I got into
it. Like, yeah, on me.
Right. Like, exactly. And do you feel loved and supported and happy? Yeah, I love it. Then freaking A, do it for your clients, not to your clients. So A, it's a great way to kind of see how we actually attract clients, and B, it's the best of, again, we've got 700 podcasts. It could be overwhelming. I know there's the Googles and the YouTube and the podcasts, and you get 1,000 different things, and it's like, just somebody synthesize it down. That 40-minute on-demand masterclass is probably the best way to do it. GrowingCleaningCompany.com. Check it out now. I'll see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.